Welcome to Life Church Birmingham. We are glad you have listened today. We know God has a plan and purpose for your life and want to help you be successful in Jesus Christ. We know you will receive a message of hope and encouragement.
We're glad that you're here. Grab your Bibles and turn to 2 Chronicles 14. 2 Chronicles 14. Today we're concluding our series on kings and queens. If we covered all of the Old Testament kings in the Bible, we would do this for 42 weeks. We're not going to do that. Some of them didn't last long. You know, I think it was Jesus who said, you live by the sword, they die by the sword, right? Some of them came into power that way, and they were allowed to exit the kingdom that way. I mean, it's crazy. As I've been studying this, I mean, family members killing off family members, you know, cousins and sons and daughters. It's just crazy. But we're going to land today by looking at the life of King Asa. The life of King Asa. And so in 2 Chronicles 14, we'll read that in just a moment. I want you to visualize the 12 tribes of Israel. A tribe is the sons of Israel. So if you go back to the person that God made covenant with, he had 12. I'm working on my development here. 12 sons. Those are the tribes, if you didn't know that. Well, they started unified, right? David or Saul, I guess you'd call that unified. They were together. David, Solomon, and then they got all mad at each other, started fighting, and developed a northern and a southern kingdom. So if you wonder, you're reading the Bible, and you read like, wait a minute, who's in charge of this thing? They're simultaneous leaders, and they're fighting each other. The northern kingdom, right, was like the 10, depending on how you count it, tribes. And then the southern kingdom had two, maybe three tribes, Levi were down there some. And there's a split. Jerusalem's in the southern kingdom. Northern kingdom, they made the capital Samaria. And King Asa is in the southern kingdom. So here we go. Did you get that? We'll be filling the pie chart out later and the graph. And we'll be given a grade and a pop quiz at the end. The reason I say that is because I want you to not get lost, you know. Chronicles and Kings run parallel with one another. And not all that is chronological order. So here we go. King Asa. 2 Chronicles 14. And Abijah rested with his ancestors. That means he died. And was buried in the city of David. Asa, his son, succeeded him as a king. And in his days, the country was at peace for 10 years. Now, that's a marker in that era of the blessing of the Lord. That would be, the original reader would read that and say, okay, that was blessed. They were blessed. Peace for 10 years, a decade without a war. Asa did what was good in the right in the eyes of the Lord, his God. He removed the foreign altars and the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. He commanded Judah, so Judah is the name of the southern kingdom, the primary tribe, not just Judah was down there, but Judah. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of his ancestors, the God of their ancestors, and to obey his laws and commands. He removed the high places and incense altars in every town in Judah. And the kingdom was at peace under him. He built up and fortified the cities of Judah. Since the land was at peace, no one was at war with him during those years, for the Lord gave him rest. Father, thank you for your word. We ask God that you would help us. Help us. We don't look at this as just an old story about another person that's in charge and another king, But God, we see it as your word to us. So God, speak, give clarity, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, a heart to receive the seed of the word. In Christ's name we pray, amen. At the beginning of this series, we made a statement. And the question was, why should I care about the kings and the queens of the Old Testament? Why would that matter to me? What does that have to do with me? And what we said was, this will help us to know how to lead our kingdom. And you might say, well, I'm not in charge of anything. Like, I don't have a kingdom. I'm not the boss. I'm not the boss even at my family. Who am I? What I would say to you is that you're the king or the queen of your kingdom, right? You're the king. You're the king or queen of your kingdom. God has given you choices and given you capacity and capability to influence your kingdom, the area of your influence. And when we look at these kings and queens, we ask ourselves, okay, what can we learn? What is that huge mistake they made? Like, I don't want to make that, so I'll let them have the pain of that mistake. I'll learn from them. And what are their successes, right? So here it is. Asa was a son of Abijah. He's in the southern kingdom. Asa's a king of the southern kingdom. Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. It's called Judah, right? Judah, Israel's in the northern kingdom. I know that sounds confusing because it used to all be Israel, but when they split, the northern kept Israel and the southern went with Judah. By the way, that Jesus is from the tribe of Judah, from Lion of Judah. So his father, King Abijah, was evil. And we'll read about even his grandmother, who's still around, is evil. So she's outliving a bunch of them, right? He comes from an ungodly line. The kingdom was ungodly. In other words, the family tree was not like loving Jesus. They weren't serving the Lord. They did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So he inherits a family line of wickedness. He inherits a kingdom of wickedness, right? However, Asa broke family curses, reversed his family tree, and the overarching thing that could be said about Asa is he did good and what was right in the eyes of the Lord. That doesn't mean everything he did was perfect, but his life was spent serving God. He led the people, look, back to God, and as a result, the whole nation was what? Blessed. They became blessed because of godly leadership. When you follow the Lord, and you're willing to even make small steps of faithful obedience, those around you can be blessed. Let me tell you this, if you just hang out with radical followers of Jesus, if you just hang out with people who love God, I've been blessed just from being in atmosphere before. I've been blessed from just being around, right? And so those of you who have influence, which is how many of us? All of us. As you're obedient, those around you will be blessed. The whole nation became blessed. He overcame challenges, but he kept building on the success. And in the end, he was honored. Three chapters, plus some in Kings. Three chapters. Here's the point. The Bible honors Asa. He did what was right. Three takeaways. First is this. I will make it my number one priority to fully trust in the Lord. Or you can shorten it by saying, trust in the Lord. There's a reason. I will make it my number one priority to fully trust in the Lord. I will make it my number one priority to fully trust in the Lord. So, 2 Chronicles 14 starts by saying he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And it begins to give bullet points, right? He removed foreign altars and high places. He smashes sacred stones and cuts down Asherah poles. In other words, he destroyed places of idol worship and ruined places where people gathered to curse God and worship idols. Like he didn't ask for permission. he didn't take an opinion poll. He didn't get with his pollsters and find out what the people would think. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. It was his number one priority. That's the message here. And then the audacity. He commands Judah to seek the Lord. Now, how do you make somebody do that? He didn't really ask a lot of questions. He said, all right, guys, here's how it's going to be. And he starts following God. I know what y'all used to do, and I'm just going to come and kick those doors. But here's what we're going to start doing. And he just began to lead by example. He said, we're serving the Lord. He didn't give any options. He didn't check the box that you most like. He said, here's what we're going to do. Can I just help you with courage this morning? Right is right. Right is right. Now, if you're going to say that and do that, you better make sure you're right. How do you know if you're right? Because it's in the book. Because it lines up with the book. It lines up with the, that's how I'll know. And so he says, we're going to seek the Lord, the God of your ancestors. In other words, he reminds them of whose they are. He reminds them of who created them, who made them. He reminds them of their history. They couldn't remember it because they had had two wicked kings in a row. But he reminds them, here's what we were made to do. He says, we're going to obey the commands of the Lord and we're going to seek him. And then he led by example is the point. He gave him something to look at. And then he removes the high places, incense altars from every town in Judah. He goes through the town and says, we're not dealing with that. We're not dealing with that. Here's the point. He uses his God-given authority to bring change. He uses his God-given authority to bring change. To build a foundation that's strong, you have to first dig up ground that's not stable. Right? So I had a friend who was a builder. He told me once of a building he was building. And the geotech engineers missed a little something, so they started digging, and they found that the ground was just mush, right? And so they're like, oh, we didn't really get that report. So here's what they had to do. They dug it up, still mush. Dug it up, still mush. So they had to keep digging until they found something stable to build on. And then they have this big hole. What do you do? You fill it in with stabilizing rock and dirt. So you dig up what is not stable, and you replace it with what is stable. So Asa is going through, and he's digging up the junk, and he's destroying it. He's digging up the junk, and he's destroying it. And so what I would say to you, what do we say to ourselves, is this. In order to build on a foundation that's strong, you have to remove the stuff that's not stable. You have to remove thoughts and mindsets that aren't pleasing to the Lord. And can I tell you that that's a process. And God doesn't take you off the process until he's done with you. And maybe some of y'all are more mature than me, but what I suspect is that we're going to be in the process until we breathe our last. That's what I think. Because he is not satisfied with partial. And so Asa's digging up. He's knocking stuff down. He's removing things. You can't keep your love letters from the devil around in a little box in the closet and build a foundation. You've got to get rid of stuff from the past. You can't hold on to a little bit and expect God to bless. God says, get rid of all of it. Thank you. Now, it just kind of breezes through that. You got to know, not everybody was happy. In this case, that's not even addressed. Like, that is so insignificant. In other words, it wasn't even important enough to put it in there. And it also says to me that people are longing for something solid and something truthful, something they can hang their hat on, something they say, this is right. So he builds, he destroys the junk, digs it up. Then in 2 Chronicles 14:7, the next verse says this. Let's build up these towns, he said to Judah. So he's talking to the whole country. And put walls around them with towers and gates and bars. The land is still ours. What does it say? I want us to read that together. 1, 2, 3. Because we have sought the Lord our God. We sought him and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. Observation. There's no crisis. There's no disaster. But what Asa saw, look, was opportunity. Was opportunity. He saw opportunity to fortify the cities, to protect them, to build walls, walls to protect against evil from the outside, towers. What do towers do? Towers that allow you to see further out danger or harm that's coming. Gates. Gates is to regulate what comes in and out, and bars. It was he sought to secure the cities. They didn't congregate, or they congregated in clumps because they needed one another. So it's not like the whole area had a dense population. So he goes to the cities and they build protection, fortify them, and gives them vision to see evil from afar. Okay, we're trusting God. Let me, how do you trust God when there's no crisis? There doesn't seem to be a crisis. At least it wasn't Asa. He's knocking stuff down. He's destroying those things, right? There's no crisis. There's no disaster. There's opportunity. What does it mean to trust God? I think that's a legitimate question, don't you? Like, okay, so you're telling me to trust God. What does that even mean? I got a simple answer that I hope will help you. To trust God is to faithfully obey and move forward with the commands and wisdom He has given you. To faithfully obey and move forward with the commands and wisdom that He has given you. There wasn't a crisis, but Asa saw opportunity. If we say, I don't want to put a burden on you. There are seasons of life, we've probably all been there, and maybe you're at this junction here, where you're just exhausted. You're just completely, like, you're just trying to get air, right? There are seasons of rest. There are seasons of recuperation. There are seasons of mourning, right? There are seasons. But those are seasons, right? If we say, well, I'm just going to have a seat here and trust in the Lord. I'm just trusting God. Well, what are you doing? I'm trusting God? No, what are you doing? I'm just trusting God. No, what does that mean? Well, I'm just saying it. That's what it means. I'm just saying the words, I'm trusting God. And if we say that, but we don't are not willing to do faithful acts of obedience, then what happens is it becomes a phrase that we say, but not an action that we fulfill. Right? So Asa sees opportunity. He's like, there's peace, not disaster. You know what we ought to do? We ought to strengthen what we have. We ought to strengthen what we have. So I'm going to trust God by strengthening what I currently have. So he's strengthening the cities. I want you to see that as a spiritual warfare sense. That you are to strengthen your spirit, man. That you are to strengthen yourself. You might say, well, man, you know what? To be honest with you, I've had some pretty tough seasons, but just like this ain't one of them. So I'm just going to trust in the Lord. What are you doing? I don't know, I'm just kind of saying trust in the Lord because it sounds good. What I would say to you is build, fortify, and give vision for others to see further down the road through your leadership. Build and fortify your spirit, man. Take on spiritual challenges. Work on areas that God's working on. Embrace God in that season and build with the Lord. I hope that makes sense. So I'll trust God to build, and I'll trust God to do battle. Okay, so 10 years, nothing, right? Well, then here comes one. Chronicles 14:11 says this. Then Asa called to the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, there is no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, Lord, our God, for we rely on you, and in your name we have come against this vast army. All right, so 10 years is up, something's happening, right? Lord, you're our God. Do not let mere mortals prevail against who? Oh, you. Oh? So here's the deal. Asa has an army of about 300,000 from Judah. That seems like a lot. They had shields, spears. Benjamin has about 280,000. 580. That's a significant number of people. Armed with shields, bows. All these were brave fighting men according to 14:8. But the foe that came against him has an army of thousands upon thousands. All right, so literally that means a thousand thousands. It's a round number, but you know what a thousand thousands is. Thank you. It's a million. So the point is this, not the exact head count. The point is this, they were vastly outnumbered. What had Asa done when there was peace? What did he just do? He built, he fortified, he built towers. He strengthened so that there would be deterrent against evil and harm. So that's what he's done. Now he's facing a military that's roughly double his size. And he's like, oh God, what do? We've tore down the Asherah poles. We've destroyed the false altars. We knocked them down. We built. We fortified cities. I did what you asked me to do. I used sound judgment, wisdom from God. But now we're facing something that we did not see coming. Lord, there's no one like you who can help the powerless against the mighty. In this case, Asa's saying, they're the mighty, we're the powerless. Help, we rely on you. And in your name. The point of the story is this. When you rely on the Lord, when you trust in Him, ultimately, He's the one that brings victory. That's the overarching message. When you trust in the Lord, listen. No matter the outcome, what the outcome looks like, ultimately, God's the one that brings the victory. Apostle Paul say? He's like, to live is Christ, to die is gain. I prefer to stick around for a while, and if I do, I'm going to be with Him, preach Jesus, and I'm gonna build the church and kingdom. But you know, if I die, I'm going to be with Him anyway. So you can't really hurt me in that way, because if that were to happen, it's a gain for me, right? But I'd prefer to stick around. So no matter what it looks like, when you trust in the Lord, ultimately He's the one that brings victory. And God is always doing 10,000 things that we cannot see. So the Bible says they struck down the Cushites. The Cushites fled. They had such a huge blow that the Cushites couldn't recover. So the men of Judah chased them down, destroyed them, went through the towns that the Cushites had built up and fortified as launching points, destroyed them so that this is not going to happen again next spring, destroys that, plunders, takes away the resources back so they can't fortify and have resources to do this again next spring, and they expanded the territory when the enemy sought to destroy them. Could it be that no weapon formed against us shall prosper? Could it be that the obstacles and hindrances that we face are an opportunity for God to expand your territory? Could it be that when you get thrown a curveball in life, and you're like, well, I didn't vote on that one. I would have voted no thank you. When you get a curveball in life, that when you trust in the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and could it be that it's an opportunity for the world to see Christ in you and to ultimately bring victory? That doesn't mean we don't mourn. That doesn't mean we don't get that fear doesn't come against us. It doesn't mean that we're supposed to not have any emotions. It doesn't mean any of that. But it means despite all that, I'm going to trust in the Lord faithfully to build and to tear down, to fight. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Let me read it to you. As a matter of fact, if you promise not to fall asleep, just close your eyes for a second. Let me just read it to you. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Amen. Open your eyes. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He'll make your path straight. In other words, He'll carve out a path for you. He'll make sure you get to the destination that He's intended. So we build and battle. We trust in the building and the battling. I'll make Him my number one priority. To fully trust in the Lord. Number two, I'll allow the Word of God to make me courageous. I will allow the Word of God to make me courageous. So if the first point was shortened by saying, be faithful, the second one is, be courageous. 2 Chronicles 15. So 14, right? He builds the towns, fortifies, goes to battle, but the Cushites destroys. What's the point? Faithfulness, obedience, trust in the Lord. And God gave them peace for 10 years. When the enemy came against them, they still won. Chapter 15, verse 8 says this. When Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Azariah, the son of Oded, the prophet, he took courage. When he heard the words of the prophet Oded, he took courage. So you might be wondering, okay, like what do you hear? Like what do you say? The Bible says in the beginning of Chronicles 15 that the Spirit of the Lord came on Azariah, son of Oded. So in other words, God fell upon him and gave him a word to share with the king. So he went out and he meets Asa. He says to Asa, I'll just read what he said. He said, listen to me, Asa, and all of Judah and Benjamin. So he's positioning himself as the authority for the nation in that moment. Just wanted to feel the weight of that. The Lord is with you when you are with Him. If you seek Him, you will be found. He will be found by you. For a long time, Israel was without the true God, without a priest to teach, and without the law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought Him. He was found by them. He's given them a little bit of a history of where they've come from and where they are now. In those days, it wasn't safe to travel about, for all the inhabitants of the lands were in great turmoil. One nation was being crushed by another, one city by another, because God was troubling them with all kinds of distresses. But Asa, as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. Be strong and don't give up, for your work will be rewarded. So back to this. When Asa heard these words of the prophecy of Azariah, son of Oded, he took courage. All right, why is that in there? God sent a word to the king to encourage him. God sent a word to build him up. God sent a word to encourage him. He allowed the word of God. Do you see me spill that water? Let me just go ahead and say it. I spilt the water. I thought I'd get away with it without y'all noticing. Did you see it? You saw, okay. Hold on. Let me just go ahead. I was being sneaky. You saw me, I just poured it all out. I didn't know the cap was off. Here we go. All right. I try to be sneaky. Now I don't even have one of my sweat rags, so I'm going to have to put this over here for later consumption. All right. The first time I preached to an adult audience, I made a kind of a funny boo-boo. Actually, it was in my notes, but when it came out, it didn't look like it was supposed to sound. In other words, I thought it was a good idea to say it. It just came across weird. The lead pastor of the church I was interning in busted out laughing in the middle of the sermon. I didn't know what to do. It was like one of those intense moments. I didn't know how to say, okay, I get it. That was funny. So I just like, they're laughing their head off and I'm just preaching with fire. And it was such a weird thing. And so so I spilt the water. You guys saw it. And now I'm just going to drink a little bit so I won't do it again. So here we go. When Asa heard the words, he was encouraged. He had courage to remove and rebuild. You cannot lead. You cannot be a king or a queen of the kingdom that God has for you without allowing the word of God to bring courage to you. We don't apologize for it. We don't act like we're above it. We embrace it because it's part of God's plan. So he hears the word. And here's what happens after the prophet encourages the king. Verse 15:8. He removed the detestable idols from the whole land of Benjamin and Judah. So he began a process. The prophet comes to him, encourages him, and he receives courage to finish what he started. From the towns that he captured, the hills of Ephraim. So remember the battle from before? He said, you know what? My territory now. We will destroy those, and we will build a godly foundation. You came against me, devil. You thought you had me, but guess what? I'm going to take that opportunity to expand the territory of the influence that God's given me and establish godly outposts in new territories. I'm going to build new relationships. I'm going to build new respect with people who may disagree with me, may not agree with what I've done, but they can't look at my life and say, at least that is respectable. And he began to expand the territory. Let the word of God encourage you. Let me encourage you for a moment. Psalm 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Matthew 11:28. Jesus says, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Isaiah 41:10. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Psalm 147:3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Joshua 1:9, this is my command, be strong and courageous. Never be afraid or discouraged, because I am your God, the Eternal One, and I will remain with you wherever you go. John 14:27, I am leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and peace of heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Let the word of God bring courage to you in order for you to fulfill the mission of God for your life. You must have the word of God to encourage you. You must have. It's not if you're weak, you have to have it. It's if you are going to fulfill the command of God for your life, you must let the word encourage you. Don't think you're going to get to some spiritual level that you're going to be above that. That's not part of God's plan for your life. Part of God's plan for your life is that you would depend on, lean on, require the word of God to build you up. It's a requirement for you to advance and build the kingdom. He had already begun a work and destroyed a whole bunch of high places, false altars, tore down Asherah poles. But there was still work to do. And they'd just taken on new territory. So they said, we're going to hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. He took courage. Joshua, the Lord tells Joshua, Joshua 1, verse 3, he says, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon, from the great river Euphrates to the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. I will give you every place where you set your foot. I will give you every place where you set your foot. Say, I will give you every place where you set your foot. Again, I will give you every place where you set your foot. Now lift your foot up and put it down. Lift the other one up and put it down. Where is the territory that God has for you? Wherever you go. Wherever you go. The kingdom of God is advancing. And forceful, take hold of it. The kingdom of God is advancing. God. Y'all gonna remember something from the day. This is a picture of the rule and reign of Christ advancing. Where is the rule and reign of Christ advance? Wherever God's people go. You don't ask for permission. You don't check in. You have the authority of heaven that you would expand the kingdom of God in your family, in your school, whether you are a teacher or whether you are a student. Quit taking opinion polls on doing the right thing. Quit trying to figure out the ramifications and just obey God. Wherever your foot goes, in your neighborhood, your territory is the block you live on. Come on. You're the queen of that block. Somebody say, I'm the queen of the block. You're the king of the block. You're the king and queen of that classroom. Everywhere you put your foot is territory for the kingdom to advance the rule and reign of Christ. When you go into a restaurant, the distinguishing mark of a follower of God in the Old Testament is clearly the Spirit of God was with him. And Jesus said, I'm leaving you, but I ain't leaving you alone. I'm going to send another one like you, like myself. And the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you'll receive power. So what we have is the promise of the Holy Spirit to go with us. Your work environment, the place where you work out, the place where you have fun, the place, your recreation, your the rest, wherever you set your foot. Who said you need permission? You have a commission. Do you think the missionaries we send out to dangerous places check in to see if they have permission? Are you kidding me? Well, what are you saying? You've been given permission. That doesn't mean we throw wisdom out the door. That doesn't mean we throw godly wisdom out the door, right? It doesn't mean we act like a know-it-all. It means we act like Jesus. So I'm building. He's not here this morning. He had to work. Joe Kiley. Y'all know Joe? I wish I had some hair I could do that with. He's texts me sometimes. By the way, if you text me and I don't get back with you, I apologize. I counted my texts 2 Saturdays ago. I had 57 text messages, so just know that sometimes stuff gets buried. If it's something urgent, it's probably not the best to text me because it's hard to keep up. From October till now, 1, 2, 3, 4, five, six, seven text messages with pictures of people that he's led to the Lord at work. At work. And they're holding those outreach. We got those leather-bound looking, what it is, it's the words of Jesus condensed into a book. So it's kind of the Bible, but not the whole Bible. It's the words of Jesus. And they're all holding this, they're all holding these Bibles. Some of them are customers, and some of them are employees. Do we throw wisdom out the door? No. Do we go in acting like a know-it-all, that we're humble? I'm like, Joe, you got a better track record than me, man. I got to get to work. Who told you you needed permission? He advanced the territory. Courage is contagious. Worship team, come on. Courage is contagious. Asa's courage was contagious. So the Bible says they entered a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, with all of their heart and soul. So he gathers, look this way. He gathers, he takes courage and begins to do, he begins to do the right thing to further. And they said, you know what? We're behind you, man. We need to reaffirm this thing. So they enter into a covenant to seek the Lord with all their heart, soul, and mind, and strength. And they rejoice wholeheartedly. And the Bible says again that God gave them rest on every side. And Asa, listen, had courage to deal with family strongholds. We mentioned at the beginning that his grandmother was still around, right? What's not to love about grandma? I mean, how can you not love grandma? Bible says King Asa deposed of his grandmother. Let me help you out there. He showed her the door of the palace because she had made repulsive images of worship of Asherah. In the midst of all that was happening in the nation, in the cities, and in the advancing kingdom, grandma is holding on to bad habits of the past. Now, this is a tough one, right? This is a tough one. She refused to stop her ungodly influence in the castle. Asa finally says, "We're not doing that anymore, Grandma. We've talked about this. You've seen the revival services. You've seen the warfare. You've seen the victory. You never had peace when Grandpa was in charge. You never had peace when your son was in charge. You see, and yet you refuse to follow the Lord." What does that mean for us? It means, first of all, there will be times when you will have to choose which relationships you will allow to influence you. This is a hard one. This is not saying if grandma's coming over for Christmas dinner and she's not a believer that you kick her to the curb. It's not saying that. What it's saying is, in the territory that you govern, you have the responsibility and the opportunity to set the culture of that kingdom. Grandma, you're welcome here. We love you, Grandma. I'll honor you. I respect you. I'm enjoying things in my life because of some of the sacrifices you made. But Grandma, don't bring that fifth of bourbon over. Don't show up drunk. As a matter of fact, Grandma, if you show up drunk, you're not coming in that door. We've talked about this. We've gone over it. I'm not going to let my kids see you like that. I'm not going to let them see Grandma like that. You were not doing that, Grandma. And you could apply that. I've got a family member now who's facing horrific consequences because they chose to marry an unbeliever. And they knew it. Prayers and tears and counsel and an extended family member. Not my own, extended family member. They refused counsel. And so now, here's the dilemma. When they drop Junior off at Grandpa's house, he likes to watch pornography. And the son thinks it's not that big a deal, aka the husband, because that's how he grew up. Do you feel that conflict? Do you feel that tension? You are called upon to set the culture and tone of the kingdom that you influence. I can't help what you're going to do. I can't help what they're going to do, what so-and-so is going to do, what such-and-such. I can't help that. But what I can help is how I allow it to influence me, my friends, those who I have. Do you feel that tension? And that's real for some of us. Because you're going to go to a family gathering, and there's going to be so-and-so and such, and they're going to whatever. You've got to decide how you're going to navigate that. I'm not saying that you turn down every invitation from somebody who's not a follower of Christ. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, you've got to decide what kind of kingdom you're going to lead and what kind of influences you're going to allow to affect your kingdom. Grandma was removed from the premises. Now that is a harsh, harsh. She was removed from the position of queen mother. And apparently, if we know it, everybody knew it. Because she had made a repulsive image of worship of Asherah. So Asa goes down there, cranks up his Echo chainsaw, saws that sucker down, broke it up, and he burned it in the Kidron Valley. There was no more war. Spiritual warfare, listen, brings peace. Spiritual warfare brings peace. So when I'm caught in a warfare, I respond in the opposite spirit of that. Be courageous. We'll land. Be courageous. Let the Word of God make you courageous. Let the Word of God make you courageous. Let the Word of God make you courageous. Because everywhere you place your foot, that's your territory. You, sir, are responsible for what happens in your home. You, ma'am, are responsible for what happens in your home. You are responsible, if you pay the bills, what comes through the internet, what comes through the television. You're responsible for what you allow people to teach your kids at school. Oh, y'all didn't shout me down on that one. Since when You're responsible. You're to be involved. You're to be part of the process. Don't just throw them out there and say, y'all just tell them whatever. Are you kidding me? We ain't doing that. You're queens and kings in the kingdom. Bow your head and close your eyes. Father, we ask that you would, from the beginning, you would speak to us. God, we sense that you have helped us today. God, we ask you now to come and help us apply the word to our heart. Here's our response. Number one is this. I will make my number one priority to trust fully in the Lord. I'll make it my number one priority. Maybe you're here today and you're facing situations and when you're navigating. And you say, God, I trust fully in you. I don't understand what the circumstances are, exactly how it happened, why it's happening, or how it got this way. But Lord, from this point forward, I'll trust in you. If you're in the sound of my voice, God is saying to us together, trust me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Trust me. Go ahead and move forward with obedient actions. Go ahead and move forward with obedient actions and trust me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Second, the Lord is saying to us, be filled with courage. Be filled with courage. Let the word of God give you courage. Maybe you're here today and you're facing a situation in which you need courage. You need courage to do the right thing. You're trying to figure out how this thing is going to work out, and you need courage to do the right thing. Not a foolish thing, but the right thing. Not something without thought to it, but the right thing. And you say, God, I need courage. Why don't you just ask him right now for courage? Why don't you just ask him right now for courage? Lord, we ask you. You ask that you would help us, that we would trust you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we ask that you would give us courage. Would you stand up on your feet all over the room? All over the room. That the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O God. To be pleasing to you, O God. Lord, fill us with courage. Fill us with faith to trust in you. To trust in you. To trust in you. We choose to trust you now. Prayer team's going to come. If you're here today and you're sick in body and you need prayer, if you're here today and you need courage to say something, courage to do something, know that God is for you, not against you. He is here to help you. And one of the most powerful things you can do is articulate that out of your mouth and is to ask for prayer. Ask for a brother or sister to come alongside of you. I need courage to say the right thing, to do the right thing. I need courage to trust in him. Anything that we talked about, these altars are open. We're going to close with a worship song.
We want to thank you for listening to the message today. We would love for you to stop by and see us. Our services start at 10 a.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights, with various small groups throughout the week. Here at Life Church, we hope you have a great week.